sunshine, little over, liver, liver. Good evening. Welcome to As the Worm Turns. My name is Jill. I am your host of KVNF's gardening show, here with our regular guru gardeners. Hi, Lulu. Hi, Lance.
Hello. How are you?
Hi, everybody.
We are all doing well here. We're munching on some sun-dried tomatoes here from your garden, Lance.
No.
Lulu's garden.
Ta-da.
These are what you've been talking about all season.
The little sun golds.
They are delicious, my dear. It's flavorful.
It's crazy good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Got a special guest in the studio tonight, Jer Lowe from Earth Friendly Supply Co. Hi, Jer.
How are you doing?
Thanks for coming in tonight. Jer and Earth Friendly, great supporters of KVNF. And Jer's got an organic operation going out there. You help organic farmers of all types.
That's what we do. Yeah.
Yep.
We're an all organic thing.
All organic. Yep. Yeah. And we try to talk about that mostly on The Worm. I think we stay pretty.
Yeah.
Pretty
organic.
Yeah. Lance is all organic. I'm all organic.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, we've had some questions. And one caller, I remember, they actually sprayed stuff and they were so upset about it. But it's like they did the right stuff to how they did it. So.
Right. Yeah. Right. We're all trying to be stewards and
the best.
Do what you got to do and keep it right.
Yeah.
That's all.
Exactly. I'm going to give the numbers before I get back to you, Jared, because it's 527-4868 and 1-866-KVNF now. And tonight we are talking about organic cannabis.
That's right.
All right. Organic. Right. I want to stress that.
Yeah.
Because there really is a difference in that. But a lot of people have a cannabis plant or two in their yard these days.
A lot of people do.
They do.
Yeah.
And it's fun, I must say.
It's pretty.
It's a beautiful plant.
Yeah.
Beautiful plant. So
it's
many
easy
varieties.
To grow. It's a weed. Duh.
Not so easy to grow.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, about half the homes that I take care of, it's growing.
Yeah. They've got a plant or two.
Or two.
Easy to grow poorly.
Yeah. But that's part of it. We talk
about
that
a lot.
Not
so easy to grow premium.
Right. But you're here to help us with that a little bit.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah. But we talk about that all the time. Just try it.
Yeah, just try it.
Do what
right?
you can.
I mean,
that's right.
You know, you don't have to have the plant that's going to do 4 pounds of plant or anything. I mean, you can get a pretty good stash off of just your puny. Just mine are puny.
Yeah.
You know?
Only 4 pounds a plant?
Yeah, well.
Well.
Give me a break.
There's all kind of, right. There's objectives. I mean, for me, I like the bonsai effect of a cannabis plant.
Oh, I do too.
The trimming
and
shaping
so cute.
And everything of it. So.
I do too. Anyway.
The bonsai skills are a good skill to have.
Yes, you can get trapped out there for many hours with the bonsai mentality.
Okay.
527-4868 1-866-KVNF now. Let us know what's going on with your cannabis plant. And what kind of year has it been, Jer? I mean,
it's been a pretty crazy year.
In what way?
We did not experience the super heat in July and August that we normally do, which has been real nice. We didn't have much of a winter, so
that was weird.
The pests have been fairly hard to deal with. The grasshoppers were bad for quite a while. They're starting to back off. And then thrips had a big explosion in the spring, and they seem to be coming out again right now.
Thrips. No, we've never talked about thrips on that show. Is that a bug specific to cannabis?
No, not at all. There's flower thrips. There's onion thrips.
Oh.
There's
thrippy thrips.
Yeah.
you can't even believe it.
Yeah. Thrips are quite the little punks. They go through several instars and they create like little trails on your leaf.
Oh, okay.
Little silver trails are left on the leaf. So
looks like they're munching it or?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
And you get less photosynthesis.
That's right. Well, the biggest issue of thrips is they don't cause so much damage as much as they can spread disease.
Okay. They're vectors.
They can be a real pain where that's concerned. So you want to address thrips one way or the other.
Can you see them on a plant?
You can. They're very, very
tiny.
Small. They're an elongated pest that is a leaf sucker on top of the leaf, and it leaves a little silver trail behind it, and then they're about, I'd say, maybe 0.5 millimeter long, skinny little looking thing. And then they can fly. The adults fly.
Oh, wow.
So.
Down with thrips. Well, what do you use?
We have several products you can use for thrips, but probably the most effective knockdown is Spinosad, mm-hmm. Which is a bacterium product that they discovered. It's a, as far as pesticides are concerned, it's relatively new biological pesticide. It was discovered in a rum factory.
Oh, hello.
And so it,
Cuba Libre.
I think it was discovered in like late 70s, early 80s. And so that's relatively new. And it's the only place it's ever been found. And it's a fairly harmful or harmless bacteria that only affects certain insects.
Okay. So, yeah, we've talked to you a little bit about that.
And Frank uses it. Remember, Frank was on.
In the orchard.
From the orchards. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, it's. Okay, it can be in certified organic.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, he's organic up there. So grasshoppers are down, thrips, we're trying to take care of. What other kind of pests do we have out there that we want to be on the lookout for?
I mean, some people have spider mites still. Spider mites are, for some people, they're a never-ending battle. I don't see them too much, but that's just one of those things. The hemp russet mite is a new pest that has invaded western Colorado and the last few years, and that is a little booger right there. This is a microscopic mite. You can't really see it without at least a 60 times microscope.
Oh, wow.
And to give you... do you know what a trichome is?
Yeah.
That's the crystals on the plant. So to give you an idea, several hemp russet mites could fit on just one little trichome.
Oh, wow. Oh, my.
That's how small they are. But they attack the pistils, which are the hairs, right?
Right.
The petiole, which is where the leaves break away from the main branch, say on your sun leaves.
Okay.
And then the leaflets, the new growth. So you'll see some tacoing. They're sometimes referred to as rust mites because after they start attacking your plant, your hairs will kind of turn a rust color and your buds will kind of get a little rust color. And they're just very destructive, and they will actually eat all of the trichomes, destroy your pistils, attack your petiole, you'll get leaf curl. They can destroy a crop pretty fast if they spin out of control. They're insanely hard to kill. You have to use non-organics really to even think about complete killing. You can control them organically pretty easily, but I've had to come up with several new compounds over the course of the last year or two to learn how to control these. So. We use some Azomax, which is an azadectrin or azatrol or whatever, an azadectrin derivative, some neem oil, something that I carry up there called Ecotec. It's a peppermint and rosemary oil base, and you mix all of those together to try to get a control. New product called Green Cleaner, which is based, it was a corn oil base. Can't recall right now exactly what the other base on it is, but that's pretty effective, but can burn your plants. So it's a battle. These guys are
delicate art there.
Yeah, and they live on alfalfa. They live on grapes. They live on pears. So they're just kind of out there in the community. And
but they really like hemp or
marijuana. Yeah, absolutely. And the Napa Valley grape growers are all pissed off at all the Northern California pot growers. Because the hemp russet mite has invaded the Napa Valley grapes, and so everyone's upset. They're trying to
it's all about balance. I mean, let's have a discussion about the bark beetle, okay?
But they're very hard to see, to the amateur eye, you would say, "Oh, I've got a fungus." You'd think you have a fungus, actually. But it's actually once you get under a microscope, you're like, oh, my goodness, there's a bunch of pests on there crawling around.
Oh, wow.
They're like little worm-looking things, very microscopic.
Whoa. Mm-hmm. Are there companion plants or things that you can plant around it?
Well,
you
know, we do try to put like French marigolds out in the gardens.
Uh-huh.
Maybe chrysanthemums, stuff like that.
Right.
Just because those are good. Those are an open-faced flower, which attract predators. Okay.
Oh, okay, cool.
And then some of the essence coming off of those plants also makes some other bugs kind of, you know, buzz off.
Wow. Right.
No
right.
pun intended.
Any dill or cilantro, parsley, any of those kind of things?
You know, I haven't experimented with that. That's a good idea, though.
Yeah. And then another one is sunflowers, when they're real big and blooming,
mm-hmm.
that big head sucks in a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It does. Yeah, he's right.
Draws them right in.
Yeah.
Right. They can't wait.
Yeah. And I mean, if you're into pollination or cutting pollination down, you do a row of sunflowers or so, and they catch all the pollen from whatever plant is coming through.
Gotcha.
Right, right.
That's a great idea, too.
Mm-hmm.
Good to think about. Yeah, so that pretty much just takes care of your crop there if you get infested with that.
It can. I mean, it can be controlled. Uh-huh. It can be controlled, yeah. But you have to have a sharp eye for it.
Sharp yeah. eye. And I think that's like in the garden. You want to observe, and I think very much
and
so
it prefers,
with your cannabis plant.
It prefers certain strains over others, too.
Oh, really?
Which is, mm-hmm. well, which uh-huh. is kind of okay. weird. So it will, like, you'll have, if you can have three different plants in the garden, one plant could be infested, and the rest of them be just fine. So.
Okay. So what's the strain that it totally loves?
So what are we
There's several.
Not
There's
play?
Several.
Okay. All
and
right.
And we're seeing a lot of, you know, systemic soil-borne fungal pathogens, your powdery mildews out there right
yeah.
now.
Right.
There's only two types of powdery mildew that affect cannabis, and one of them thrives in arid conditions and the other one thrives in humid conditions. So I would gather to say that most people who have it right now have it from the humid summer we had.
Right.
That is a systemic soil-borne pathogen, though, which can lay dormant in the soil. So your plant can actually be infected for months. But like most systemic fungal pathogens with cannabis, it doesn't present until the end of the plant's life cycle.
Uh-huh.
So a lot of people start to see powdery mildew right now, verticillium wilt, Fusarium wilt.
Those are tomato wilts.
Yeah.
Those are the, those
well,
are
and they're, right. in the, they're in the
they're
same
the
genus.
Same,
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
yeah.
So.
Is that the same as mold?
No.
No. So bud uh-huh. mold, that would be botrytis.
Uh-huh.
And that comes when, it often, with cannabis, what happens is as the flowers are setting and they're stacking on, a little bug will fly in there and die.
Mm-hmm.
Get a little
oh no, don't tell me it gets too
gets a little
tipsy.
too high and
too
dies
high.
And then, or like a leaf will die
right.
and die back in there and then the,
right.
the bud stacks on and then the botrytis actually 9 times out of 10 with cannabis comes from the inside out.
Oh, okay.
And so that's where you get gray mold, mm-hmm. bud mold, botrytis, it's all the same thing. What we do to combat that is we use some biological controls, and we just spray the buds about once a week. And you're using, like, we have a product called Hydroguard, which is Bacillus amyloquefaciens. That's a very strong Bacillus subtilis strain. We also use Streptomyces derivatives, like Streptomyces lyticus and Streptomyces rae, that sell under some brand names. And those are, those can, like, give you a little saving grace if you do the maintenance. Most of these things are, you know, you have to be proactive.
Right.
You can't right. be reactive. If you come up and your plant has botrytis, you're not going to walk it backwards. It's not mm-hmm. going to unmold.
Yeah.
But you can sometimes stop it in its tracks, but it's much better, you know, ounce of prevention worth a pound mm-hmm. of cure type thing.
Right. Good soil.
Yeah.
All that kind of good stuff. Hey, we have David on the line. David is calling from the Hills Above Gateway. Hi, David.
Hi, how are you, my favorite gardeners?
good evening.
Wow, you came in really loud.
Coming in hot.
Yeah, coming in hot. That was cool. Okay, go.
Really? No, that's great because my cell coverage usually is very good. Anyway, hey, Jerry.
How are you doing, Dave?
Great. Hey, listen, I wanted to know if Actinidae, first, what the shelf life is. I have some from you from 2 years ago. I know there might be living organisms in there. Is that no good?
That's probably not. Yeah, biological control, it's probably no good if it's 2 years old.
All right, and I'm not seeing any, fungus or the powdery mildew, but can Activinate work as a preventative, or what else are you talking about as a preventative?
Yeah, that's a good preventative. We have another one called Mycostop. Actinivate is Streptomyces lyticus, where Mycostop is Streptomyces rhei and a little more ag grade. Also, the Hydreguard is a good one to prevent all that. And also watering.
Oh, really?
Yeah, watering these things into the soil can be preventative too, because that's where the other things like the powdery mildew and whatnot come from, because they're systemic.
Now, the Hydreguard, should I use that alone?
You can, or you can use it right next to one of those Streptomyces products.
But not the Activinate if it's 2 years old.
Yeah, it's probably not effective anymore. I mean, you could use it at like,
use it.
Yeah, I mean,
right,
you could
just get rid of it.
Yeah, you could use it at like a double rate, but it's probably not that effective. The problem with using biologicals when they are older like that is then you can build a resistance to them the same way.
Sure.
It's like antibiotics. You know, they're like antibiotics for plants. And so the pest or disease that you're trying to take care of can build a resistance if you used a weakened strain. And so you always want to try to keep those biological controls pretty fresh.
Gotcha. And what about the Hydrozyme? Will that do?
That's an enzyme. So that's a different course of action there, different mode of action.
Will that do anything for prevention of the mold or funguses?
Not directly, but indirectly, because what the enzymes do is they go into the soil and they eat up all the dead plant material, chew up the nutrient salts, they off-gas CO2 and make those things bioavailable to the plant again. And if you've got a bunch of dead root mass or something in the soil, that could be a place that could harbor pest and disease. So if you're using enzymes on somewhat of a regular basis, you can avoid that.
Cool. Okay, so you suggest using the Activinate and the
Hydro Guard is a good one. Yeah.
Watering it in the soil, though. Don't use the Activinate as a foliar spray.
No, you can use those both as foliar sprays as well.
Which one?
Oh, both, ideally.
Both.
Yeah, ideally. Well, one's going to save you from, say, like powdery mildew, the systemics, whereas the other you spray on for the botrytis, which isn't systemic.
Thank you very much, Jared. Okay.
Thank you.
Nice. Great, David. Good questions.
Wow, those are big words.
Yeah.
Do you plant this stuff? There's something
ball.
Simple.
Yeah, right?
What's the soil temperature like you need for?
Well, you know, like a lot of things, nitrogen isn't bioavailable until the soil is 50 degrees or warmer. And you would certainly see, some pretty dramatic effects if you weren't getting the nitrogen. So it needs to be at least 50 degrees, I would say.
The soil temperature.
The soil temp.
Okay. They say plant your cannabis plant on Mother's Day, Lance. Old wives' tale.
Oh, okay, Mother's Day.
Right.
When's that?
There's a little bit, it kind of depends. If you want to avoid getting diseases and pests, the later you go in,
the better
you can deal with that sometimes. Yeah. It's kind of like with the squash and the squash bugs.
Yeah. Yep.
Right.
You plant after July 4th, you're probably not going to get squash bugs, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So there is some advantages to going in late. They typically catch up, and they're very aggressive. Especially, we also have Rocky Mountain Cannabis Institute where we teach a lot, and I have Colorado Cannabis Consulting where we teach and consult. And I try to teach people that you have to, they're like athletes. You have to train them. They can really take a lot, and you can really do amazing things with cannabis plants, but you have to train them. You can't just like take your average Joe's cannabis plant and then start throwing all this stuff at it. You'll probably burn it, et cetera. But if you do it right, you can train them and make super
athletes. Right. Hardy, beautiful plant. Where are we in harvest time typically right now?
Well, some people, because we've had such weird weather, as we talked about earlier, some people were early. There's certainly stuff starting to come down. if you're right on time for most strains that are best for the area, you're going to come down probably mid-October into the first week of November.
All right.
Depends on if the indicas come down a little earlier, the sativas come down a little later.
Yeah, the weather's looking good for that.
Yeah.
Now, sunny is this greenhouse stuff or outside stuff?
Both.
Okay, good question.
Both. Mm-hmm. Whatever's under natural light, because they're photo period determinant.
Okay.
So.
Okay. See, right? That's the thing, huh? And then my plants were so slow to bud out this year. I couldn't even believe it.
Well, that could be the strain, because there's certain ones that are slower growing, where more like the indicas, whereas the sativas are pretty fast growing.
Yeah.
And, you know, sativas typically are 70 days or more of flowering sometimes. Most indicas are down at around the 50 to 65 day.
Oh,
oh wow.
And so, but the slower growing indicas tend to come out slower, but they also, you know, once they do their thing, they really...
Yeah, they're definitely
they
on it.
Butt.
Yeah, they're right. On it now. But I was sitting there looking at them, you know, 3 weeks ago, going, "What's up?"
Well, you're probably that. I would say you're right on time.
Oh,
I would say you're
perfect.
Right on time.
Perfect.
For this area. For this
yeah.
area.
Well, you know, it in real life, all I do with mine is make salves.
Salves. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I used
there
to make a lot of tinctures and stuff, but I.
Salves are where it's at, for sure.
Salves are where it's at.
It really
like
is.
It.
It's
like,
just amazing.
I've been blown away. You know, we do this essential extract of cannabis course where we teach people how to make the essential oil extract, and that can be taken in many ways, shapes, or forms.
Yeah, yeah.
But one of the things that can be put into is salves, and I am blown away at the effectiveness of these salves.
Yeah, I don't even go to
not
the
just for
oil
the pain,
stage,
but for healing.
But just for healing.
Healing.
Yeah, I mean, stuff just goes away.
Yeah, it does.
It's
very
incredible.
Quickly. Very quickly.
Yeah.
I'm all over
awesome.
I like it a lot. I just use a real simple, you know, anybody can do it at home kind of thing, and it's amazing.
It's a great plant.
It's phenomenal.
So, yeah.
Well, if they had walked out of the rainforest with it a few years ago and nobody, if it didn't have 100 years of stigma behind it, people would be saying, oh,
yes,
what have we found here? It's a miracle plant.
Yeah,
it's
right,
magic.
Right.
It's
right.
All the
that's
stigma
point,
that
too.
Comes
yeah.
with it.
Yeah,
you know, and,
yeah, when it was demonized
right.
back in the day.
And
right.
and because the pharmaceutical companies are way behind on this.
Right,
yeah.
You
yeah.
know, so
exactly.
That's,
there you
that's
go.
Another issue.
There.
Yeah.
I'd love to have a talk about that. But Skip is on the line with a question. Hi,
oh,
Skip.
Good. Hi, Skip.
Hey, guys. Thanks for the show. And I was just calling to ask, hey, what's your take on outside growing versus like some sort of fancy hydroponic type growing? Is there benefits
I'm
to
a big
one or?
Yeah, I'm a big soil supporter over hydroponics for sure.
Yeah.
There are some great new light systems on the market that are damn near better than the sun in some cases. And I swear I'd never say that just a few years ago.
Well, and it seems like you would have more control over your environment in terms of
absolutely.
Like you were talking about
bugs.
Mites and
yeah, you typically get a slightly higher quality product indoors than you do out. And then there's the in between, the greenhouse, you know, and that depends on how you can deal with pests there. We typically do a hybrid, and you're supposed to do this all undercover. Like, it needs to be out of view even from the air by law. And so we typically grow under shade cloth hoop houses. And then as it gets cold enough, then we add the plastic and finish out that way. So, and shade cloth's pretty important because Colorado's sun is a little
too
intense.
Hot.
Yeah. That's why we had such a great summer with it being cool. Everything's very healthy and happy for the most
part.
Yeah, for the most part. So that was kind of
a beneficial thing.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Lots of things like the cooler weather.
It just didn't stress stuff out.
Yeah.
There's no stress factor.
And as we mentioned, they're cousins of tomatoes. And as we all know, like, you know, you get fruit set early summer, and then you get July and August typically, and you get no fruit set, just stretching.
Right.
And then
right.
you'll start to get it again at the end of August, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's kind of the same thing for a lot of fruiting plants like that.
Right.
So,
too much temperature variation, too hot, and then are typically cooler nights.
Well, talk about – that's a great thing for cannabis, and that's why we grow such premium cannabis in this valley, just like the fruit, because it enjoys the temperature swings. And, boy, have we had those lately, down near 50 degrees on some days.
Yeah, yeah.
But the sugars build and the sugars recede and the sugars build and recede, and that's, you know, that's very good.
Yeah. Nice buds.
Yeah, everything is spectacular. The grapes are off the charts.
Indeed.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Skip. And we have...
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thanks. Max is on the line from Montrose. Hi, Max.
Hi.
You have a question for Jer?
Yeah. How come you guys are using so many chemicals and stuff on your plants and things? I heard that last week. I haven't used anything like... the spectacides and all that kind of organic stuff for years. So, I mean, where do you guys live and what do you do?
We don't use chemicals on our plants.
You just said spectacide.
No.
Isn't that right, or did I mishear you?
Spinosad?
Spinosad. Spinosad is a biological control. It's a bacteria.
I know, but why?
To control the thrips.
What is it in where you grow that is in not in balance where you even have to use that? We haven't done this for 20 years.
No thrips in Montrose?
Yeah, it could be just where, you know, down in Montrose.
A lot hotter
Maybe you have the natural predators. The biggest issue is that so many people are doing it, so many people are spreading more pests and disease, you know.
All right, and with the cannabis, are you growing that stuff indoors?
Both, yeah. Can be done both, yeah.
And you said you were doing the same thing for a lot of stuff that I used to think about in North Carolina and Mississippi and stuff as a biological control for different things.
Yeah,
you know, like mostly for azaleas and not azaleas, but the other one, the big one. Anyway, I just can't figure it out. I haven't done anything for that, and I can't tell you because I guess I would get arrested or something if I told you how long I've been growing cannabis.
No, you were just on the right side of that, man. So
okay.
Don't worry about it. It's all legal now.
It's all good. Yeah, you're fine.
Okay, cool. Anyway, no, I don't. Yeah, see, I've never. The only thing we've had is a few years ago there were some aphids that got on Friar Right and Friar Left, and then this year we found Gregory, a grasshopper, in the room.
Right on.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
You talk about something that was just absolutely hilariously funny. No, we didn't know if he was alive or dead, so we touched him and he jumped, right?
Right.
And then we gave him a belly rub. I don't know if anybody has ever worked with grasshoppers. They are not allowed to let you touch them.
Yeah, he was probably pretty relaxed.
No, that was pretty good. If I lived in that room, trust me, I would probably be the same way.
Yeah.
But I just don't understand the powdery mildew. And like I said, the two things that have ever happened was the aphids, and that's because the stuff was in the pot.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't in the ground.
Right.
And I don't have a greenhouse or anything like that, so it's all just what I do. And the other one was the stuntedness that I had this year, actually, in the same place, well, in proximity to the same place. They were one-third the size. That really bugged me.
Oh, that's interesting.
That could have been genetic, could have been the soil, could have been – there's so many – there's an astronomical amount of factors.
Right.
Well, these are 12-generation plants.
Right, that's
gotcha.
Gardening. All right, Max.
You just never know, right?
You don't know.
Yeah. You just don't.
I don't know.
Yeah. And
all
now,
of these plants are trying to make fools of us all the time.
If you have more birds and you don't do anything, like dump anything, but you start creating forests and trees and this and that, or even though it's farm ground, I think that might be my secret.
The ecosystem is very important,
that.
For sure.
Yeah, yeah. For sure.
The ecosystem's very
important.
For
sure, the big system is the backup, man.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Plant more trees and bushes and leave the weeds grow.
Yeah, we'll have Aaron Heideman come in and talk about forest gardening.
Yeah.
You wanted to do that.
Right. I love that whole
thanks
ecosystem.
Thanks for the
call,
man.
Thanks, Max. Yeah.
Thanks, Max.
Great.
Hey, love you guys.
Bye.
All right, some great questions, and I learned a lot about cannabis. Thanks, Jer.
Sure.
Thanks for coming in.
Yeah,
and,
that's awesome. Good job.
Do that again before the harvest is over. And Boy, there's a lot to talk about next week. So send your questions to worm@kvnf.org, and we'll be back next Tuesday at 6:30. So,
all right. Thanks a lot. Have a good evening.
Yeah. Thanks,
good night,
Jer.
Everybody.
You've got a cute fast pocket master, which you can make go slow and faster. I don't know who you took a shine to, or who you're about to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so, low, little low and low.